burns. Sweat it out, wait my turn. And now I have the pleasure of bringing on Kirk Tabor, founder, CEO, and director of brand strategy at Tabor Creative Group. Talk to me now about your entrepreneurial journey, Kirk.
Well, thank you. First of all, it's a pleasure to be here, and I've enjoyed my predecessors here in the chair. It's really kind of hard to see myself as an entrepreneur now because it's 22 years ago last month is when we started this little business of ours. But I think what's really cool is that we have the opportunity to work with a lot of entrepreneurs. So okay. That kind of keeps it fresh with us. We have the ability to connect with folks and sort of ride the journey with them, help them show and tell their stories. Yeah. And so it's been a fun, wild ride. But
building a brand is never easy. So what is Tabor known for? So how did you get yourself known? How did you end up building your brand?
Well, that's a really good question. The company itself was sort of born out of a little bit of anxiety, desperation, and just frustration with working 80 hours a week for somebody else, as we were doing back in the my partner back in the 90s, and so I think we heard it. I think it was said. Ryan said it earlier. Not so much strategic, but opportunistic. And so you learn to build the strategy around the opportunities that come your way, which is really a remarkable thing for the region we're in. The Sacramento area is an extremely relationship-driven market, as you know, and as you're doing a great job. Thank you for facilitating through this project.
It's a team effort.
It's fantastic. Yeah. And so what are we known for? Well, we sort of have found our niche into working largely with brands that are in a dramatic period of transition. We work with a lot of startups. We work with a lot of companies sort of dancing with mergers and acquisitions. Aside from that, we've gained some specific expertise in financial services, healthcare, mm-hmm. agriculture, technology. But every assignment's different, and that's what makes it fun. So again, we sort of get that entrepreneurial fuel to us through the people we work with.
Well, it's interesting building a brand. Maybe we can make this a little bit educational too, as we think about your entrepreneurial journey, but the education that we can have, any of us thinking about building a brand, what are the basic steps? How do you start off when you got somebody who's looking to pivot or launch something? What are the things we think about when building the brand?
Excellent question. Obviously, it all begins with an idea and some inspiration, and then you've got to connect the dots from there. And what we've learned in our adventure is that a brand development is not it's an ongoing evolution. It's not a static exercise. And so if you're inspired to the point where you're ready to make that leap or to continue that leap, it really comes down to almost picture a sort of a clock, if you will. At the top of it, you've just got to know who you are and what you want to be. Mm-hmm. Click down to 3 o'clock and it's now you got to walk the walk. Wow. Only when those two are in alignment, so to speak, can you get to 6 o'clock in mm-hmm. the circle mm-hmm. and be able to tell your story with some credibility.
Interesting.
And then as that clicks, then there's the opportunity for growth. Now, of course, with growth, you're going to find yourself back up at the top where who are we? How has this change affected us? How is it for better or for worse? Where are we now versus where we were at the top of the cycle last time? So it's a lot of fun. Sometimes it's funny as in working I came out of politics and public affairs. I'm not a management consultant, but sometimes as we get into these discussions with brands, that's sort of what they see us as, is not necessarily telling them what they do, but asking them the questions. And in asking those questions, that's the beauty, is we get to learn. That's what keeps it fresh for us.
Yeah.
So I learn more from my clients, and I'm a little reluctant to say that, but they're paying me to go to school, but it's really quite rewarding.
It's interesting to think of it that way. I think of the clock, and I mean, a lot of people that start businesses, I've started a number of businesses, and I would say every one of them, without exception, the business plan ends up changing from what you think it is at the beginning. So you launch the business, well, here's what we're going to be, here's our brand, and then 6 months, 1 year, 2 years later, it's like, we aren't even going to do what we started off doing. So all that extra effort we put on the branding at the beginning, it's pretty much in the trash can. I've got to create a whole new image, if you will. I mean, the values and some of those things don't change, but actually the way you go to market changes for almost every company, I think.
That's absolutely correct. That is, and that's absolutely correct. And if that's happening, that means you're doing something right.
Okay. Make enough mistakes to discover who you're going to be.
Absolutely. And that positive energy, if it's coming in positively and impacting you in the direction you want to go, then you got to ride that wave, mm-hmm. right? I was telling Greg, I mean, that's one of the challenges. I wouldn't say it's a challenge. It's really an opportunity. Is we're in a deadline-driven business, and we're brand managers. We're working in advertising, social media. We're trying to put together plans that are going to make our clients successful. And yet, there can be a lot of stress in that. And so you've got, hopefully, positive energy, and you've got stress. And so how do you manage it, whether you're in a consulting role like me or in a entrepreneurial role? How do you keep that positive energy and minimize the drama?
Yeah.
That's the trick.
Huh. Well, how do you do that?
Hire good people.
It sounds so easy. Well, see, it's interesting because I've done a few branding exercises in my time, and it seems like every time we end up honing in on our strategy, it almost becomes like a therapeutic strategy session because you end up honing in more clearly on the message, but more clearly on what you actually are good at, what you actually want to do. The most valuable parts of your company are sort of accentuated.
That's a really good observation. And you know, if you're lucky enough to have a session like that, you've probably been in ones like I've been where they kind of start to spin a little bit mm-hmm. off the rails. But that's the beauty of it, is if you can find that focus and those exercises can be sort of stereotypically in some realms metaphysical and unproductive. But I've seen where they've been really, really effective at team building, getting everybody on the same page. As I said, sort of the no be component, mm-hmm. getting those in alignment. Those sessions are extremely valuable.
Is there a collision that's emerging between the technology and the different ways that we're going about generating leads? You mentioned social media, but there's all this click funnel kind of lingo that's happening, right? It's really around marketing and lead generation and so on, as compared with the old school branding where we're deciding who we're going to be, like we've been talking about, and sort of that collision of technology is and old school thinking that still applies.
I don't know how you apply the $64,000 question to inflation, but that's really what our industry is up against right now, because we're still trying to understand exactly where the consumer is with his or her comfort level in that level of chasing the leads, mm-hmm. defining the leads, finding people. We do geofencing campaigns, as you probably heard of, mm-hmm. where you can reach people within a certain framework of where they are on their mobile devices and IP
right.
addresses. And I would say that from our experience so far, there's been more good than bad in it. I think that their generations, as they're progressing, are a little more receptive to the fact, or accepting of the fact, that Big Brother is always watching.
Yeah.
The question is, who's Big Brother, and what does that mean for me? What are the repercussions? But it really does come back to, and I think you said, Mark, you still have to have that. You still have to have the message that's mm-hmm. going to resonate. It doesn't matter whether you're reaching somebody, if they're not willing, if they're not ready, if they're not receptive for your message, if it isn't highly honed, you're not going to.
Well, you brought up the term geofencing, in just case any of our listeners haven't heard that term. So this is something whereby, let's say, a consumer is walking into JCPenney's or maybe another major department store, and Bruce Anapolsky decides he wants to capture those patrons' identities as they're coming through and direct them over to his high-end clothier. He can actually do that through a marketing campaign through geofencing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And so that's that's something that a lot of people are using at the brick and mortar level. What else are we seeing out there that's trending these days in terms of capturing these leads and then driving it back to your brand message?
Well, there's a lot to it, and we could probably speak for hours about it. But IP targeting, even for behavioral marketing, we don't necessarily, let's say we're not necessarily looking to capture a brick and mortar consumer, but let's say we have a a product or a service that's going to resonate well out in, say, Sun City, Roseville, and Sun City, Lincoln, you know, a couple of retirement communities mm-hmm. are close by. We can target the IP addresses for the computers, for the mobile devices of yeah. the people who live in those areas. So, yes. And it's, you know, and sometimes it's, you know, in today's world, it doesn't necessarily have to be get in your car and drive to it, but we can, you know, affect a call to action that's just going to be right there digital, and it's going to convert, hopefully. And the beauty of it now mm-hmm. with these new technologies, we can measure that,
you
which
bet.
Is something that was, you know, that's been highly evolving over the years too. But
yeah, well, thinking about that, where's our best bang for the buck now? I mean, I guess it depends on the business, but thinking, I've heard people say the retargeting campaigns, like you're talking about, the mm-hmm. things that we can do on Facebook and social media and so on, are more cost effective than actually using old media like AM radio or TV mm-hmm. or some things like that. So mm-hmm. are you feeling like the advertising spend has caught up with the eyeballs movement over to digital and mobile?
That's a really good question. It would seem as such. I mean, it is, as I said, going to school every day, not only with the brands, but with the technology. It's almost hard to set a new you almost have to set a new benchmark every year in terms of what are the metrics and how are we defining success in this. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's the pure analytics, how many people are looking at our message versus, you know, how are we converting those to actually do what we want them to do. It's been funny watching the spend kind of go, you know, for direct mail, for instance, is
yeah.
coming back because
yes.
everybody likes the tactile
yeah,
nature
you're,
of a...
It got to wean. We used to call it junk mail. Now it's like, hey, I got mail, right?
Again. Well, and you notice some of the big brands are spending a lot of money on those. I mean, to print a piece and to mail it is not cheap, but it's going to make an impact. If yeah. somebody is going to open their mailbox and take it out, and if it's going to make an impact, it's going to make an impact. So depending on the brand, there's a lot of... there's a higher-end brands, I think, are starting to float back
about,
in that direction.
What about television and radio, traditional yeah. television? Are people calling you up saying, I want to do an ad on the radio or an ad on a TV, help me out? Or are they saying, you know, what percentage of the calls are coming in, you know, wanting something digital, something like
right.
new media?
That's a good question. It's for radio, for the most part, we're a boutique agency, and while we're all over the board, if we are a consumer with, like, say, a credit union, we've got a very targeted consumer base, a lot of business to business. For a lot of what we do, Mark, we haven't done a lot of radio with we do work with nonprofits,
okay.
and God bless them when they let us have some PSAs or some discounted time, we'll put together radio spots. As far as television is going right now, again, it's almost sort of adjusting the same level of the personalization of the targeting the internet IP addresses, geo-fencing, so mm-hmm. to speak. So now with a cable, zoned cable is a big deal. Just for the brands we work with, because mm-hmm. we work with national brands, but not on a consumer, business-to-consumer basis. But for the brands that do want to utilize television, which is still incredibly effective, and of course, don't work in politics anymore, but there's a lot of that. The ability to control zoned cable, to buy through a Comcast or whoever it might be, and to maybe place that ad right there in Sun City, or to place mm-hmm. it right in, you know, Arden, East Sacramento or whatever. There's right. a lot of evolution and growth in those opportunities.
Yeah. And it kind of varied from a little bit of the brand, which is, I know you're an expert on, you know, helping us to identify our brand and our brand statements and so on. But it seems like there's a lot of noise out there. So people will come out, and I've seen this in my own businesses
sure.
where we're going to be great at like five things, and really all those five different messages sort of get lost, and finding a way to hone it in so that it's concise, profound, actually memorable, hopefully, in a situation.
Sure.
Walk us through a little bit of that, separating all the noise from the signal, if you will.
Well, that's another great question, and it's the information overload world that we live in. From our experience, I think one of the things I enjoy doing personally is the market research side, which is coming back in a third party, taking a look at, do we know who we are? Are we walking the walk? So it doesn't have to be very sophisticated to exercise an effective and rewarding return on investment for a little bit of a market research effort exercise. Just staying in touch with the people who do business with you, and it's not hard to understand when you do that where you're falling short. People are never going to hesitate to let you know how you can do better.
Yeah.
But when you can identify trends in what the individuals who are doing business with you, what they really appreciate about you. There was a study by Bain Cap. Bain does a consumer loyalty and banking study every year. And a couple years ago, they came out and said, you know what, it doesn't really matter what logo you have, what tagline you're using. Find out what your best cheerleaders are saying about you and find a way to amplify that. Now, so social media gives us that opportunity. Paid advertising, if we're lucky, some earned media, we can get that. But that's really what it's about, is you got to understand, what are you doing right?
Yeah.
And then blow it up.
Yeah. Well, it kind of reminds me of like storytelling and that kind of thing, right? So if we can get our customers telling our story. So just as we kind of think about that next, the next one in line, helping entrepreneurs out there, any closing thoughts, advice, stories of how we ought to be approaching our branding and our marketing in order to grow our businesses?
Just it's a tried and true saying, but just keep it simple. To keep it simple, it's know who you are and what you want to achieve, and find a way to enlist or to work with people who have that sort of shared sense of desire to win,
yeah.
and lo and behold, you can get there. It's really just a matter of time and effort and. Make it fun.
Yeah. You can get there. Make it fun. Kirk Tabor, he's the founder, CEO, and director of brand strategy for Tabor Creative. Thanks for sharing your story today, Kirk.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.